Chapter 12. Anyway, so I was looking at spots in Crime Alley that a community center would fit, and I think I might have found the perfect spot, Danny said, as he swung his and Jason's intertwined hands between them. Jason hummed in response and gave his boyfriend a curious look, nudging him along with his idea. So, it's this spot right on the edge next to the Bowery. I was flying over last night, and there's this dilapidated warehouse that looks like it hasn't been touched in the last 50 years. We could get that building and fix it up pretty nice, make it a giant gymnasium-type thing, maybe make space for a gym with equipment, an indoor pool, and of course, we need a library. I can't believe there's not a library in Crime Alley. That's so devastating. I had some high schoolers come by the shop the other day, and one of them thanked me for letting them borrow my books because their school's library was full of destroyed books. And I know you'd like to keep a library of sorts in the center. We can figure out the schematics when we get there. Right now, we just need to focus on getting a building and what we want, Danny blabbered out. It was late in the night. Jason had come over to Danny's apartment in the middle of the night, angry and needing to distract himself. Danny, who had an even worse sleep schedule than Jason, had just slipped into a pair of jeans and tugged on a t-shirt and sneakers before he followed Jason out of his apartment and they started walking. No real destination in sight. Danny didn't even try to get Jason to talk about what had happened. He just started to talk about his day. They were somewhere in the Bowery now, having wandered a good ways away from Phantom's Oasis, and Jason had finally started to feel himself calm down. He had been having a rather nice night, working on finding the information on a new drug ring that was starting up in Crime Alley, when one of his men had run into his office looking like he was ready to cry. He had followed Randy out of the warehouse that was his base of operations, listening to the man blubber about something horrible he had found, and calling up his men to meet them. Upon their arrival, he had learned that there was a trafficking ring starting up right under his nose. A child trafficking ring. For the first time since Jason had met Danny, he was seeing green. They had invaded the base of operations, and Jason had even gone as far as calling the police to help find the kids' homes and whether they were safe to go back. It had been a lot, and Jason's emotions were now stretched so thin he was still seeing nothing but green. As soon as he was no longer needed, he had booked it to Danny's house. He kept an eye out around them as they walked through the streets together, Danny's idle conversation filling Jason's ears as the green started to recede. He had never felt so angry in his life, so horrified, so disgusted. "I'm losing you," Danny said, amusement in his voice as he stopped walking. He took Jason's face in his hands and ran a cold thumb along the taller man's cheek. "I heard what happened before you got to my house. Ghosts or gossips," he whispered. "You did so good, Jay. I'm so proud of you." Jason swallowed and nodded his head, unable to get even his flames to calm down to form coherent words. "Not only am I proud of you for saving those kids, I'm proud of you for cultivating such a safe environment that your men feel safe with coming to you about their fears, or if they see or hear something, they can come to you. For a crime lord, you've done so much good for your people and your home, and it's amazing. And those kids are getting to go home tonight because of you." With a shaky hand, the revenant signed thank you to his boyfriend before he took Danny's hand and once more started walking down the street. Danny just smiled and continued rambling about his ideas for the community center and his desire to make it a place where everyone felt welcomed and comfortable. After an hour of mindless walking, Danny started to yawn and informed Jason that it was time the two of them head back to his apartment, not so subtly suggesting that Jason come along with him. Before Jason could utter any kind of agreement, though, a figure in all black appeared before them. Jason let out a snarl as Batman stood before them, his mouth twisted up in a frown as he looked down at the two. "I heard about the trafficking ring in Crime Alley," he said, and before Jason could even form a coherent thought, Danny was moving to stand between the father and son. "Great, you listen to police scanners like the majority of Gothamites. Have a nice night," Danny snarled out to him, his voice nearly inhuman, and Jason knew, fuck, he knew that Bruce knew too. Not only did Bruce know, but Bruce would get suspicious, and he would ignore their unspoken agreement to stay out of each other's way and start investigating Danny, especially when Danny's eyes started to glow a subtle green with the promise of a threat. Danny pulled Jason along, past the bat wordlessly, when Bruce spoke up once again. "You did good," Bruce grunted out. "I'm proud of you." Fire started crackling out around Jason wildly and furiously. It was the sound of a building burning down, wood popping, and metal creaking as the fire ate through everything in his wake, as the fire crackled around the broken body of a 15-year-old Robin who had lost everything. Electricity and soft winds slipped out of Danny in a comforting hum, wrapping around his body and flooding his ears as Danny marched through the street away from Batman. Suddenly, Jason felt weightless, as though he had been plucked from the ground, and he looked around to find that Danny had wrapped his arms around Jason's waist and flew through the air, heading back home, back to Jason's safe space. Danny phased the two through the ceiling of his apartment above the coffee shop and settled down in his bed, holding Jason close in his lap. "I'm so sorry. I should have known better than to lead us out of Crime Alley. I didn't think he would track us down like that just to talk to you," Danny said in a whisper, as he pressed Jason's head to his shoulder and brushed his fingers through the dark black locks, his calming powers wrapped around Jason like a blanket, holding him, comforting him. Wet fabric pressed against his face. The vigilante blinked for a moment before he realized it was from him. He was crying. A sob racked through Jason's body, the sounds of fire and metal growing louder and louder in the room as he let it out. He didn't know how to handle this, how to deal with the fact that his father had been right there. Not only that, but he had said Jason had done good, and why was it making him feel this way? He hated Bruce. Bruce Wayne had ruined his fucking life, had taken away his voice, had isolated him from his family, and ruined everything he had ever built for himself. Jason had forced himself to rise past it, to make a name for himself, to become someone he could be proud of. Yet Bruce still had so much power over him, so much say over his life and his feelings, that just those simple words had Jason's walls crashing down like the walls of fucking Jericho. Every hurt feeling, every thought of Bruce that had been meticulously placed behind that wall was now flooding into Jason's brain, and he felt himself positively ache over the feeling. Why now? Why did he decide to step in when Jason was finally healing? When he was finally learning to love himself? Why was that when he would step forward and say something? Fuck, he missed his dad. He missed Alfred and his siblings and the life he'd had. Things were finally going well. Jason had gotten control of his rage. He had been working with the bats more than ever, and he was coming over for Sunday dinner. And the slice of a batarang and the laugh of a madman ruined all of it. In one split second, he had lost everything he had ever wanted. He had lost his voice. He had lost his family, his home, and his father. He had lost a piece of himself. And he had tried so hard to ignore that. "I'm so sorry, Jace. I'm so sorry," Danny whispered, rubbing his hand up and down Jason's back soothingly. "You're here with me, and things are going to be better. You're so strong, my moonbeam. You're so resilient," he whispered, resting his chin on Jason's shoulder as the words flooded Jason's brain and wrapped around him, holding him tight. Danny was right. He was strong. He was resilient. He was stubborn as hell. He hadn't even let death stop him. "I know you miss him," Danny whispered, pressing a kiss to Jason's head right above his ear. "And I know you miss the life you had. Trust me, baby, I understand." "Distract me," Jason begged, and Danny let out a hum as he tugged at Jason's hair lightly. Danny hummed and continued his ministrations in Jason's hair as he started to tell him about his rogues from his hero days, the time Spectra infected all the high school with a weird ghost illness to make herself more powerful. He told Jason about Ember and Youngblood and the shenanigans that they had caused. He told the story of how he learned Skulker was just a blob ghost. Jason had laughed at that story, already planning on giving the robot fucker shit whenever he went to Phantom's Oasis next. He let the words of his boyfriend wash over him, the stories distracting him from the ache in his heart, the desire to have his family back once again. He couldn't keep putting a band-aid on it, though. He was going to have to do something to fix the ache inside of him. He just didn't know what it could be. "Let's get some rest, okay? You've had a very long, emotional night. I'll just have a duplicate open the shop for me in the morning," Danny murmured, before he started to undress Jason and get him ready for bed. Soon, Jason found himself cuddled up against his boyfriend, his heart feeling just a little lighter. I know you feel like you have no one, but please remember, you have me, Danny whispered, his fingers once again in Jason's hair. And Cass, Tim, and Dick? They all obviously love you and want a relationship with you. I know there's no chance to get close to Bruce again, not now anyway, but I think now is a good time to start getting close to your siblings again and rebuild those relationships. I know you miss them, Danny whispered. Jason simply nodded his head in agreement, knowing that what his boyfriend was saying was true. He'd had good interactions with three of his siblings. Maybe it was time to start reaching out again. He knew they missed him. They all drove him crazy after the accident until Jason shoved them all away. He would probably never forgive Bruce. He couldn't bring himself to even think about it. Not now. But his siblings. He missed his siblings. End of chapter 12.